Good morning, buenos dias. Good morning to everyone. This morning is a beautiful day to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth, and what a blessing it is to be here together to do that. Again, my family and I are so thrilled and so blessed to be here and to feel this love and joy, the fruit of the Spirit. And we talked yesterday about one of the characteristics or the main characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. And today we'll be talking about joy. So let's begin reading Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the Bible says the following. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Brethren, those who are influenced and directed by the sword of the Spirit will produce the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. We noted in our previous study yesterday that there is not a plurality of fruits, but only one fruit of the Spirit. Yes, only one fruit that is made up of several interrelated graces or virtues, all of which will be manifested if one is truly walking in the Spirit. Prominence, of course, will be the virtue of love, which we observe was defined as active goodwill that seeks the highest good of others. So it is best exemplified, as we studied yesterday, by Jesus Christ, who through his example has taught us what love really is. We talk about it in John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. We also read 1 John 3:16. It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Remember the word that we use and that Christ used and God is using? Agape. Agape must be the universal motive for all that we do. And we read 1 Corinthians 16:14, do everything in love. As noted in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit also involves joy. You know, it is interesting to note the relationship between the Holy Spirit and joy in several passages. For example, let's read Romans 14:17. The beautiful book of Romans, chapter 14 and verse 17, the Bible says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1:6 also says the following. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So we see in these scriptures that the relationship between the Holy Spirit and joy is very important. We read, of course, Galatians 5:22, the passage that we just read. And therefore, one who is led by the Spirit and walking by the Spirit will be someone filled with much joy in his or her life. But of course, the question is, what is joy? And how can Christians be filled with joy? Well, let's start defining this beautiful word, joy. You know, the Greek word is chara, first one that we see right here. That is the Greek word which Thayer defines as gladness. Vine adds delight. By one count, the word chara is used 60 times in the New Testament. And the verb form of chara is chairein, which is most often translated to rejoice. It is used 72 times in the New Testament. Now, closely related is the word charis, the one that we have right there, which is the word often translated as grace. This is very important. Vine defines grace in the objective sense as that which bestows or occasions pleasures, delight, or causes favorable regard. Therefore, brethren, grace is what produces joy. Wow, it is just amazing. So let's see for a few minutes the connection between grace and joy. You know, one's joy is directly proportional to the grace one has received in our life, or at least to the perception of grace that one has received. For example, receive a small gift and your joy might be minimal. Receive a large gift and your joyous reaction is greater, of course. You know, when Christians don't have much joy in their lives, well, something is wrong. If you have no joy in your religion, there is a leak in your Christianity somewhere. Here's one explanation why Christians may be joyless. The reason why many poor souls have so little heat of joy in their hearts is that they have so little light of the gospel knowledge in their minds. The further a soul stands from the light of truth, the further he must needs be from the heat of comfort. So this is maybe why, you know, so many souls are joyless. But let's see for a few minutes. The joy of the Lord is abiding in us. You know, the Lord certainly does not want Christians to be joyless. Of course not. Listen to what it says in John 15:11. Listen to what Jesus said. John 15:11, the Bible says the following. John 15:11, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." So what a beautiful passage this is. Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, does not want Christians to be joyless, but to have joy. You know, the joy he gives is inexpressible and full of glory, able to sustain us in the worst of circumstances. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter 1, 6 through 8. It doesn't matter what we go through. What it matters is that the Lord is with us. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 8, we read the following. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, it says, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, the Bible says. What a beautiful passage. You rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, another version says. So we see here that the joy that God gives us is inexpressible and it is full of glory. And people need to notice this. You know, when we have joy in our hearts, people will see that, will notice that. Even if we're going through hardships or hard circumstances, we still have joy that the Lord is with us. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 11:25. Hebrews 11:25. Unlike the passing pleasures of sins, which are fleeting. Listen to what it says. Hebrews 11:25, it says, let's read from 24, Hebrews 11:24 and 25, so we can understand it better. It says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sins. So, unlike the passing pleasure of sins, joy is something that we have in our hearts, whatever situation we are in. Even the good things in life eventually prove to be vanity. And we know this. You know, when we have a brand new house or car or phone or whatever the thing is, I mean, we feel happy and we feel joyful, but as time goes by, you know, we became like, well, I mean, it's good, but I don't feel it like the first time because it's vanity. I'm not saying that that is wrong. Of course not. But it's things that eventually is a vanity. Listen to what it says in Ecclesiastes 2, 10, and 11. Ecclesiastes 2, chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Listen to the preacher, to Solomon, what he said right there. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 says, I deny myself nothing my eyes desire. I refuse my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet, when I survey all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. So we see that even the good things in life eventually prove to be vanity, brethren. Therefore, he has made it possible for the Christian to say with Paul, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Philippians 4:4. What a beautiful passage. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:4. Imagine Paul. He was in prison. He was in chains. And still, he said these words, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. You know, when you go to prison to visit someone or to pray for someone, you want to go there or we go there to encourage them, you know, like not to lose faith and to be encouraged. But imagine Paul, he was in prison and he was encouraging the people that was outside of prison. Man, he really had the joy of the Lord. That's why we as well, we must rejoice in the Lord. You know, when I was a little boy, I still remember coming from Mexico to the Oklahoma and to the sulfur meetings, you know, and we all know that a lot of people used to attend to those meetings. Now, of course, we have several, but I still remember, like, 1,000 people or so many people gathered together. And I still remember, you know, coming in and parking there in the car with my dad and everything and getting off the car. And I still remember as a little boy, I was like, oh, there's so many people, the singing is beautiful. But when I start seeing like one preacher after another, I was like, that's too many sermons, you know, for one service, what's going on? Of course, I was little, I didn't know that they just gave like 10 minutes or 15 minutes to each preacher. And I was like, another sermon and another sermon. And then the next day, going back in the morning and the night and everything. And I was like, that's too much, right? Like, oh, that's too much. I was a little boy. But now, man, I miss those minutes. And, you know, and I cannot get enough of singing and listening to the Word of God. And that is just a joy to be in the house of the Lord. The Bible, that's what it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. So this time is a precious time that we are here, you know, and we rejoice tremendously. Now, a failure to remember those things graciously given us, which make for joy in our lives, can explain why some Christians do not have the degree of joy or gladness or delight that they should have. But Christians have every reason to be joyful. We have every reason to be joyful. We just need to remember what it is that produces joy. So for a few minutes, let's review. Just a few. Let's see the sources of joy for the Christian. Number one, joy is a consequence of faith. Yes, brethren. Joy comes from having a confident trust, faith, in God. Philippians 1:25, listen to what it says. Philippians 1:25, the Bible says the following. Philippians 1:25, it says, and being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. Another version says, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith. So we see here the connection, you know, between joy and faith. We see it without faith in God and Christ, we just cannot experience abiding joy. It's just impossible. Now, why is faith essential to joy? Why is it? Well, it dispels the attitudes that prevent joy from occurring, such as worrying. Yes, anxiety, worrying for tomorrow, worrying for something that we don't know if it's going to happen or not. We don't know the future, and we are anxious about it and worry about it. Listen to what it says in Matthew 6, 25 through 30. Listen, Matthew 6:25-30, the Bible says the following. Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the sky. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Worrying in our life is what prevent us from enjoying the true joy in the Lord. Jesus said, don't worry about it. You see in the news this and that. You watch on the television this and that. Don't worry about it, says Jesus. Have joy. Have faith. The Bible says in Matthew 14, 27 through 31, right there. Matthew 14, just a couple of pages down the road. Matthew 14, verses 27 through 31. The Bible says, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But then he saw the wind. He was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Since joy is based upon faith, this emphasizes the importance of the Word of God in producing joy. For faith comes from the Word of God. Remember Romans 10, 17? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, the Word of God produces faith. And in return, faith produces joy. Romans 15, 13. Let's read what it says in that scripture. Romans 15, 13. It says, Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a beautiful passage. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. When we have joy, remember, faith, grace produces joy. When we have joy, we have peace. And people will see this. Even though the things that we're going through, and people will see, how come you're not, you know, just eating your nails, or like, what is going on? Well, it's because God is with me. Christ is with me. He isn't with me. And He gives me joy, and He gives me peace, and I trust in Him. Oh, what beautiful feeling this is, brethren. You know, this is just an amazing thing. And we are full of joy. John 15, 11, listen to what it says. The very teaching of Jesus are designed to give us joy. That's why we study the Bible. That's why we're here studying what Jesus said. He's our master. He's our teacher. And this produces us, in us, joy. John 15, 11. John 15, 11 says this. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. And then if we turn to chapter 17 and verse 13, John 17, verse 13, it says, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Still remember my grandmother in Mexico. She didn't know how to read, how to write. And I still remember sitting there just reading her the Bible. She would put me like, son, come on and read to me. She wanted to hear the Word of God. And that really gives us that peace, that joy that we need so much in this life. We see the need to read and study the Bible daily. Now with technology, brethren, there's not an excuse not to listen to the Word of God. We have it in our pockets right here and in the cell phone. We have so much applications that we can read the Bible, different translations. Even you can just put play. driving, you can listen to the Word of God. I believe I shared this last time I was here. I believe so. I can't remember. But some years ago, I went to visit Brother Wayne McCamey. And when I was speaking with him in his office and everything, he shared with me that it was very difficult for him to really set aside a time just to read the Bible because of all the different meanings that he was preaching. I mean, he was booked years ahead. But he shared with me one secret. He said, you know what I did? I bought those cassette players, and when I was driving to a meeting, I just listened to the Word of God my way over there. And listening into my car, and then I put it in my home, and I was doing something, but I was listening to the Word of God. No wonder he was able to just cite all these verses that we just read by memory. You know, he really didn't need the Bible to read all this scripture because it was all in his heart, in his mind. And this is what the Bible says. You know, when we read what Jesus said, I always imagine as talking directly with Jesus, you know, just talking with him, and we will be filled with joy. Let me tell you something, brethren. Joy is also the result of obedience. Obedience to the Word of God fosters joy in the hearts of the obedient. Yes. Notice the conversation of the Samaritans. Let's read in Acts chapter 8. This is a wonderful story, a wonderful passage that we have here in the Bible, in the Word of God. Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. Acts 8, 5 through 8, the Bible says, Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with tricks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was what? Great joy in that city. Why was great joy in that city? Because people were hearing the Word of God and they were obedient to it. So obedience to the Word of God fosters joy in the hearts of the obedient. Also, right there, Acts 8, but now verses 35 and 39. Acts 8, verses 35 through 39, listen to what it says. Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, Look, here's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the carriage, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. But what happened? But went on his way rejoicing. Wow, what a beautiful thing. You know, all of us that have been baptized for the remission of sins, we have to be the most optimistic people in the whole world. Showing our joy because we have eternal life. Yeah, we might not know the future. We know we do not know the future, but let me tell you something. We know the one who knows and controls the future, and that is our God. So we rejoice in the Lord. Listen to the conversation of the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1:6. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, the Apostle Paul wrote this. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, it says, the scripture that we just read that just fits perfectly here, 1 Thessalonians 1:6, Paul is telling the Thessalonians, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. So Yes, brethren, even though we might be passing through some difficulties, when we are obedient to the word of God, joy will be in our hearts. Conversely, disobedience dispels joy and produces fear. You know, we as Christians, we are not to be fearful of anything because we have the Lord and we have joy. But those who are disobedient and dispel joy, this produces fear. Hebrews 10, 26 through 27, listen to what it says. Hebrews 10, 26 through 27. It says the following. It says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. So the question is, could lack of joy be an indication of lack of obedience in our part? The Bible says that joy is based upon forgiveness. So the guilt of sin is a major reason why many people lack joy. Awareness of such guilt causes stress, unhappiness, and worry. Even as Paul illustrated in describing the condition of one struggling with the problem of sin, remembering Romans 7, 24 through 22 to 24, listen to what Paul says and how Paul describes the problem of sins in our lives. Romans 7, 22 through 24, he wrote the following. Romans 7, 22 through 24, Paul wrote, "For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am," he said. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" So Paul illustrated sin. And did he describe the condition of one struggling with the problem of sin? But there is forgiveness. And where there is forgiveness, there is joy. Yes. Consider the 32nd Psalm of David. Remember what David did? And, you know, this is a beautiful psalm. And it just gives us so much peace and trust in the Lord. Psalms 32, verses 1 and 2. Psalms 32, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit." He describes King David. He describes how the guilt of his sin is affecting him inwardly. Read verses 3 and 4 now. Verses 3 and 4. "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." But listen, what happened then? "But at last," the Bible says that he confessed his sin and he was forgiven. Verse 5, it says, "Then I acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Brethren, he describes the joy that the righteous or the forgiven can experience. When he went through all of this and he confessed his sin, listen to the result of this. Verses 10 and 11, Psalm 32, 10 and 11, he said, Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in Him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. So what a beautiful thing this is, you know, that when we are forgiven, when we've been baptized for the remission of sins, we have so much joy in us. The correlation between forgiveness and joy is also seen even in Psalm 51, 7 through 12. We are in Psalms, so just a couple of pages down the road, Psalms 51. Let's read this beautiful psalm as well. Psalm 51, verses 7 through 12. It says, cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bone you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blow out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. So we see very clearly, brethren, that we have the joy of the Lord when our sins are being forgiven. Even the song that we are about to sing in the invitation, the power of God to just delete, erase all of our sins, this produces joy. When we obey the gospel, this will produce us joy because we trust in the Lord. No matter what happens tomorrow, we are in Him and He is in us. Now listen to what it says. Let's go back to the New Testament now in Romans 5, 1 and 2. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Romans 5, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and what? And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Brethren, if you have not yet received the forgiveness found only in Christ, there is no way to experience the abiding joy that comes only in the Lord. Joy also comes from Christian fellowship as well. It is a joy just to see such fellowship. Paul experienced joy by witnessing love and fellowship in Philemon. Let's read Philemon 7. It only has one chapter. Philemon verse 7. Listen to what it says about this fellowship that Paul experienced. It says, Philemon 7, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the heart of the Lord's people. This is how we also experience joy. I mentioned this yesterday, and I'm going to mention it today. When me and my family come to this congregation, we can feel and see love, and we can feel and see joy. You know, the singing is beautiful, singing from the heart. Juanito was singing really loud, and he told me yesterday, I really love the singing, Daddy. You know, and this is joyful. You know, when we sing and when we have this fellowship, this gives us joy as well, the fellowship that we have from our brethren, because this is a familiar, a family, you know, and we feel so awesome. We feel at home when we are in the church, and this is just a great fellowship. Also, the Apostle Paul found great joy in learning of the resurrection of brethren. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 7:7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 7 says the following. This is a beautiful passage as well. 2 Corinthians 7:7, it says, "And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him, he told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever." You know, when someone says to us, "Brother, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your family. Brother Dwayne that prayed for us on the prayer and everything, thank you so much, because it means a lot." When someone texts us or calls us, "I'm praying for you," this brings us joy. This fellowship that someone is praying for you brings us joy. It is a wonderful thing. How much more the joy of experiencing such fellowship. What a wonderful thing. Philippians 4:10. Listen to what it says. Philippians 4:10. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renew your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it." Paul rejoiced in the fellowship he had with the Philippians. And what a wonderful thing when we go to another place. And we might not know the brethren there, but we go and worship with them. It's like we've known them forever. And that is the fellowship that we have. And that gives us joy, you know. And it's a wonderful family that we have. John spoke of the joy that comes of Christian fellowship reunited. Listen to what he said in 2 John 12. 2 John verse 12 says the following. It says, "Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full." You know, we were talking about this just before the service, that with all this pandemic and everything, it's a good thing that we have the technology to FaceTime and to do Zoom. I mean, it's not like face to face, but it's better than nothing, you know. And John said, "I'm not going to write to you anything. I want to see you face to face." Why? So that our joy may be full. This is what produces the fellowship. When we enter the building and we shake hands and "God bless you, brother," and give a big hug, man, it's just an amazing feeling, the fellowship that we experience. Are you developing and nurturing the kind of Christian fellowship that adds to our joy? Joy comes also from Christian service, brethren. There is the joy of spreading the good news of the gospel, and this brings us joy, of course. Acts 11, 20 to 23, listen to what it says. Acts 11, verse 20 through 23 says the following. Acts chapter 11, verses 20 to 23 says this. "Some of them, however, men for Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them about the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts." Man, there is such a great joy when we hear that someone obeyed the gospel. When I received the text message of the picture when someone is baptized, thank you so much for sending those pictures, because this just gives me and my family so much joy. When we hear of someone just obeying the gospel, we praise the Lord. You know, this, it is like the Bible says, it's like a a spiritual party in that sense, that we are so encouraged by that. Listen to what it says in 1 Thessalonians 3, 6, and 5. Listen to what it says in 1 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 9. The Apostle Paul, writing there, listen to what he said about Timothy. 1 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 9. He wrote, "But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you." What a beautiful passage. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you?" It's like when we receive like a report from a brethren, you know, and we rejoice with them that they are growing in faith, that they are growing in number. People are being baptized despite the pandemic, despite everything. This adds joy to our heart. Even John wrote that this was his highest form of joy. Remember in 3 John verse 4, he wrote, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." I have no greater joy than this, he wrote. You know, one reason this is true is that those whom we have brought to Christ not only be a source of joy for us now, but especially in the day of Christ. In conclusion, brethren, the wonderful joy of the Lord is open to all who would receive it through such things as faith in Christ, obedience to his will, forgiveness through his blood, fellowship with his disciples, and service in the kingdom. And it is the kind of joy that can sustain us through life. As Nehemiah told Israel, remember in Nehemiah 8:10, he said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Again, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Certainly, those who are born of the Spirit, who are walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, will be involved in all these things. And as consequence, will bear the fruit of the Spirit, which includes joy. Why not begin experiencing this joy today by obeying the gospel of Christ? If anyone has not been baptized for the remission of sins, this is a great opportunity to have joy in your hearts, receiving the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Christ, and participate in the fellowship of Christian love as you work toward bringing others to salvation. This is the lesson this morning. And like I said yesterday, I hope and I pray that it was beneficial to you as it was for me when I was studying this beautiful word and fruit of the Spirit, chara, joy in our hearts. So thank you so much again for the invitation. We look forward for the 2 p.m. service. And at this time, let us stand up and sing the invitation song.